Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said before, our text for this morning's message is from the epistle reading we read, especially that part, "For we share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Dear friends in Christ, you ever wonder why we spend all that time in Sunday school learning about the children of Israel? Why we spend all of that time talking about God delivering the people of Israel from Egypt, about all the plagues, the Passover, the parting of the Red Seas, even to the spies' entry into the Promised Land, and then the people doubting, and then having to spend 40 years in the wilderness, even the fiery serpents coming and killing the people of Israel when they doubted, and then the serpent that's put on the pole. You ever wonder why we studied all that stuff in Sunday school? Was it simply to hear about the great miracles that God had done of old so that we could be excited about God's power? Well, or was it to learn of Israel's great faith as God's people? That could probably not be the case, because we see over and over again how Israel fell away from God. Now, I think it's to point us to Christ, to learn how Christ, even after saving his people, continues to sustain his people, you and me, the people of Israel, and keep his promises to us and to them. So, you know, as we are indeed rightly focused on justified by grace alone through faith alone, sometimes we forget that Scripture speaks not only about God redeeming his people, but also about him sustaining his people, keeping them going. We might refer to it as sanctification, where we faithfully hold firm to all of God's promises as he continues to sustain us and keep us until the ultimate fulfillment and the ultimate deliverance in the last day. See, sanctification isn't about saying, now, what are you going to do for God? It's about saying, hold firm, for you share in Christ. And that's what our text today actually tells us and exhorts us. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So let's learn to appreciate God's preaching a little bit on sanctification, on holding firm to being kept in the faith. Luther actually writes in the Small Catechism in the explanation to the third article of the Creed, he says, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. We sometimes forget that. We forget that we depend just as much upon our God to sustain us as to forgive us and to save us. Remember, he's not just delivering the people of Israel out of Egypt, but also into the promised rest, into the promised land. Remember, meanwhile, of course, in the wilderness, we depend on him to keep us in the faith that he has given to us. So we have to learn from the examples that he gave us. It's interesting, it's not always a positive example that he gives us. In the verses before this, in verses 7 through 9, it says this, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test. He's basically saying, don't do what they did. The people of Israel were partakers, sharers of Moses. They actually took part in everything that he had been given by God. See, God gave Moses a decree of deliverance and said, bring it to my people. And they shared in that deliverance. Just like when God gives Moses the law, they shared. They partook of that law. God hears Moses' prayer, and they benefited from the divine mercy that God gives to them. But the people of God tended to grumble against what God had given them. And yeah, let's face it, if they had just doubted Moses, it still wouldn't have been good, but it wouldn't have been as huge a deal. Maybe it wouldn't have been so hard on them. Even Moses fell short. He was not allowed to go into the promised land. Nevertheless, Moses was God's servant, faithful in all of God's house as a servant. And so to grumble against Moses was actually to grumble against God. They refused to listen to God's guarantee through Moses. And ultimately, they died in the wilderness, short of the promised rest that they were given. If they'd remained faithful, they would have seen God's deliverance. They would have seen God replace his servant Moses with somebody who arguably had a more honorable title. God replaced him with Joshua, who actually led the people into the promised land. Of course, Joshua, I don't know if you know this, but Joshua is the same name, is the Hebrew name for Jesus. It means literally God saves. So Joshua and Jesus have the same name. And in Joshua, of course, that guarantee of God came to its fulfillment. The ultimate Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, we find our ultimate. In him, we find our ultimate fulfillment. See, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews often shows the foreshadowing in the Old Testament of what is happening in the Gospel and in the New Testament. What we see, and we see that our joy is filled when we see Christ, who is the great fulfillment, and to hear him say plainly that everything in the Old Testament is about him. And that we can therefore read how God cared for his people of old through the death of a sacrificial lamb, through the raising up of a sin bearer upon a pole, through the blood safeguarding the firstborn, and on and on and on. And we read through the history of the Old Testament, we can learn from it what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, has accomplished for and has delivered to us. We can actually look at the deliverance of the people of Israel and say, what a wonderful example they were for our hope and for our joy. But too many times the Israelites didn't taste the final joy, because instead of encouraging one another in the promised guarantee, they inflamed one another in sinful passion, self-gratification, and various sins of wickedness and unbelief that led them to fall away from their God and to follow after idols. And the rebellion ended when, as our text says, their bodies fell in the wilderness and they were unable to enter because of unbelief. St. Paul even recounts this example that they left for us, this sad example, in 1 Corinthians 10 when he says, "Now these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did." So shouldn't it cause us to shudder a little bit that the people of Israel are our example? Because we want Christ to be our example, right? We want Jesus to be our example. And the epistles, to be fair, the epistles do tell us that we're supposed to follow Christ. Paul even says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." But he's not merely an example. He's not merely, if you will, an occupant of the house. He's actually the builder of the house. Christ is the builder of the house, not merely our example. See, he's the one to whom all scriptures point. Everything points to Christ. He's the substitute. He's the one that endures all things for us in order that the promise can be guaranteed. He's the one who as the Son is faithful over God's house. And the house, that's you and me, the people of God. We are His house, if indeed we hold fast to our confidence and our boasting in our hope. But that's also what the Israelites could claim, right? They could claim that they were His house. They were His people, His chosen people. And there it is. From the Israelites, we ought to learn how to behave. Actually, we ought to learn to behave, if you will. And certainly the lesson that they left us is invaluable. They left us the lesson that what happens is that sin hardens our hearts to the guarantee that they might not enter the eternal rest. Sin's dangerous. It really is. Not just because it harms our neighbors, though, of course, that's bad enough, but also because it deceives us. It lies to us regarding the things of God. When we do things our own way without punishment, it actually breeds kind of an ego of invincibility. And that in turn leads us into our feeling of independence and self-pleasure. All of this, in turn, deceives us into thinking that the promises of God were in vain. In other words, why wait patiently for a promised guarantee when I can rebel right now and prove that His promises aren't worth waiting for? And as we deceive ourselves, what happens is that we start to deceive others that are with us. So instead of encouraging and exhorting one another in the faith today, we actually live for the supposed utopia that tomorrow might bring. If only we make our own rules, follow our own will, foster our own hopes. Instead of being partakers of Christ, who has accomplished all of these things for us and freely gives them to us, we all too quickly follow the examples of Israel. All too quickly, because the sin enters into our hearts and it leads us down the path of Israel. And isn't that what the Holy Spirit is reminding of us today in our reading? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Do not harden your hearts when you hear my word. So let us always remember that for these examples in the faith, sin led to faithlessness. Faithlessness led to a hardening of the heart. Hardening led to destruction, so that they actually fell in the wilderness and never entered the promised rest. Why? Well, because they were relying on themselves. One of the things that my father he doesn't say it today, he used to say it, you know, and you've probably heard it before, God helps those who help themselves. I remember him saying that to me one time, and I said, that's not in the Bible! That's our attitude many times today. We have to rely on ourselves. You know, that's our American ethos, if you will. But the writer to the epistle tells us something a little bit different here. He encourages us right here and right now. We have come to share in Christ, to be partakers in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. What is our confidence? Our confidence is Christ. Our confidence is in Christ and what He has done for us. Isn't that the original confidence into which you were baptized? Weren't we baptized into Him, into His name, into His suffering, into His death? Weren't we baptized into the promise to share in His resurrection, into the inheritance that He has won for us? And all of that so that we can hold firm in that confidence to the very end. In Ephesians, it talks about standing firm, and when everything has passed you by, to continue to stand. We don't stand firm in our own confidence, in our own will. We stand firm in the confidence of Christ, in that guarantee of Christ. And if we believe and are baptized, we will be saved. And if we believe to the end, we will be with Him in the end. So with boldness and confidence, we can actually approach God Himself, our Father in heaven. Not like Moses did on the holy mountain when he was only able to behold God. Far better, we actually eat and drink and partake of God, His very body, His very blood. When the people of Israel, when the manna fell in the wilderness, and the people of Israel said, "What is this? What is this stuff? Why do you keep feeding us this stuff that falls in the wilderness?" As Keith Green said in this song, you know, why? What? We're tired of all this manna. Manna kati. Manna this, manna that. We're tired of it, they're saying. We actually have a different gift. We don't say, "What is this?" Instead, we say with the hymn, with the one with the hymn, "What is this bread?" With awe and wonder, Christ's body risen from the dead. What is this mystery? See, we point, what we do instead is we point one another to this mysterious gifts, and we encourage one another every day to hold fast to that confidence we have in Christ. Hold fast to our confidence in these things. For when we actually build one another up in the faith, when we exhort each other in the faith, we do nothing other than point each other to the continuing encouragement and the comfort of the Holy Spirit among us. That same Holy Spirit who continually points us to Christ. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And the Holy Spirit works tirelessly to bring us, bring all that is Christ and give it to us. That's what it means that we have actually come to share in Christ. Probably a better translation is we have come to be sharers, partakers in Christ. That's what it means when that Christ is our Savior. He's taken all of our sin, all of our bondage, all of our, all of that thing, that stuff that is ours, and He's hung it on that cross. And He dies that we might live. He's taken it all. He's paid for it, and He's given us all of the riches, all of the inheritance that are His, so that we might be part owners with Him, partakers, sharers in Him, according to the mercies of God. After all, Jesus means God saves. And He saves you, and He saves me, and He saves the whole world. So, if we each individually share in Christ, then we all collectively share with one another. We actually share with each other as a community. So exhort each other every day. Lift each other up. Build each other up. As long as it is called today. Tomorrow is a mystery. Tomorrow is a wish yet to be fulfilled. Exhort each other every day as long as it's called today. And look out for one another, so that your hearts might not be deceived by sin and be led away from the living God into stubbornness and the cold hardness of death. Let us encourage one another to always depend on Christ, to pray for His Holy Spirit's comfort and keeping, and to hold His guarantee firm to the end. Or as the writer of the Hebrews elsewhere says in chapter 10, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Faithful to the end, in His name. Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen and amen.